is the She Loves to Plan podcast with me, Monique Svensson, founder of Perfect Planner Company. If you are a time-poor entrepreneur, a business owner spinning too many plates, or a busy mum who wants to feel more successful, more accomplished, and more organised in your business, life, and home, then this podcast is for you. As a planning expert, I know that every goal needs a plan, and I'm here to show you how. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the She Loves to Plan podcast. It's been quite a while since we have done this, but we figured we'd have this comeback episode, and I'm really excited for this episode today. Partly because I actually haven't got a clue what's going to happen in this episode, and I shall explain why. We've got a very, very special guest on the podcast today. He is a massive, massive wheel in the chain that is Perfect Planner Company, but he's the silent one. It's me. It's my face normally, my voice that everybody hears, me turning up to all the things, but this man is a big part of this business, and this is my husband, August, who is sat with us today. I'm not going to give too much of an introduction because this podcast is actually being run by our head of sales and marketing, which is our lovely Chloe, and she's sat opposite me at the moment. She has a list of questions. We actually haven't got a clue what she's going to ask us, but she wants us to be as honest and unfiltered as possible. So bear with us, guys. We're going to see what comes out of this. We actually don't know. It's the school holidays when we're recording this, and our kids are currently locked in our office. So they might come out. They might not. Who knows? We're just going to see what happens. So that's enough from me. I'm going to hand you over to Chloe now. Woohoo!
Perfect. So let's start easy. How are you both doing and how is your week going?
Right. You want to start? This is August, everyone.
Hello. Hello. I'm not really used to this, I must admit. So it's a new one on me. But I'm okay. I'm good. Week's been a bit crazy, to be honest.
Why has it been so crazy?
It's always crazy.
This is our life, right?
Yeah, but now kids are off holiday, so it's even more crazy.
I know.
Kids are off school, holidays, and then how do you work around that? How does everyone do it?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I think this is the thing. Everyone, I mean, and we talk about this a lot because we're a company that specialises in planning. But when your kids are at home, it's bloody hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is hard because unless, I know for ours, unless they're sat on their devices.
Yeah, and then you plan and you plan everything out and then stuff happens.
What's happened to us this week?
Everything.
Right, go on. Tell some of the listeners what's happened.
Well, let's go on. Maybe 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
About 2 weeks. You ended up in hospital.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. Yeah, that didn't go well. And then you got back from hospital and everything was looking good and the car blew up.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Not literally, but it sort of just conked out.
The engine seized up.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying.
Yeah. Now we need to buy another car, which is really annoying.
Which we hadn't planned for.
No, didn't plan for that. And then just, yeah. And then school holidays and then, oh yeah, then I damaged our hob. I wasn't happy about that.
Oh God, the hob.
Yeah, hob, yeah. Cracked the hob.
Oh, and I broke a wall.
You broke a wall. Yeah, you reversed into a wall. That's it.
I told you about that.
Yeah.
I did tell Chloe about that.
Yeah, yeah. This is just an average week.
So just to rewind on that. So this has been our week. So obviously me, hospital, that wasn't so great.
Yeah.
That didn't go well.
No.
I should
say... You're a bit better now.
I'm better now. Yeah. So if anybody's getting concerned, yeah. I'm okay. I am okay. A few more tests, but I'm going to be fine. My sense of humour is still amazingly undamaged. Physically, my body looks a little bit worse for wear and I look a little bit beaten up. But my sense of humour, amazingly, is still there. So that was that.
Mm.
Then what did we say? Oh, the hob. That really wound you up.
Oh, I was not happy about that.
So we just recently upgraded, you know, to one of these lovely induction hobs.
Yeah.
You've got to get new saucepans. You've got to get...
Yeah, yeah.
The whole shizzle for this thing.
Yeah.
What is Algis going to do? We've got like these metal not hot plates. What are they called?
To protect your surface surfaces, protector thing, yeah.
I should say we've actually got pretty shit worktops as well, but so I don't know why we were trying to protect them.
No.
But we were. No.
And I was just wiping it and it just moved and just cracked it.
Chipped.
It? Yeah.
Chipped it. Broken.
Anyway, I mean this is first world problems, but but you know.
Then the car. Yeah. And then I was in a hurry and I was taking my daughter to her friend's house and thought, I know, in their very narrow driveway, I'm just going to turn around because I don't know what was going through my head. But then I knocked their entire garden wall down.
You should not reverse a car. You have a history of this. She's knocked about four walls in the past. It's not the first time this has happened. So one Christmas I bought her parking sensors.
He actually did. Imagine my horror. Most people, you know,
saved us a fortune, though, didn't it?
Most people, you know, for Christmas from their loved ones, they'll get.
It wasn't
you know,
the only present. No, it was a sort of a jokey present, but very very much needed, wasn't it?
It was. It was actually quite a good present. Anyway, so how are we doing apart from that? But business wise.
Business, yeah, busy. We're really busy getting ready for all the 2024
stuff.
Products and, Amazon and all that is all crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
And you are just locked into. So we have one of our corporate clients and we produce quite a lot of stuff for them.
Yeah.
And, again, this is interesting. This is a real honest, unfiltered view on planning because we plan this in beautifully, don't we? It all forms part of our annual strategy.
Yeah.
We know when they want their products into print, but then they don't bring us the goods on time.
No, they're always very late. And so I do all the design work and everything for this particular product, this company. And they have multiple countries with different languages. And yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it? And they keep changing everything, don't they?
I know.
And
consistently.
Yeah.
And but we love them.
Yeah. They're brilliant. They're brilliant, you know. So, but yeah, it's a lot of work and I'm in the midst of that now. So that's me locked away. I think last summer we were in Turkey on holiday, supposedly, and I was just upstairs.
In the aircon room.
On my laptop, you know, designing, yeah.
So it's hard as a business owner, isn't it? Because the work just has to get done.
Yeah, you can't shut off. You know, it's always back in your mind. This has to happen. You can't just walk away from it, you know.
No.
Like, you know, if you were in a, I don't know, in a 9-to-5 job, I suppose. But
yeah.
So you're always, it's always there. And because it's your business, you can't just ignore it. You have to.
Yeah.
So that's the hard thing, isn't it? But at the same time, you know, you can organise your time a bit better, sort of around your life, maybe.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't seem to really work.
So, before we get into what your life looks like personally, for anyone who hasn't come across Perfect Planner Company before, who are Monique and August?
Oh, who are we?
Oh, okay,
go on, you go fix yours. Is quite interesting.
Well, yours is interesting too. Well, I grew up in Iceland, in Reykjavik.
He is my Icelandic Viking.
I'm the Viking. And I moved to England when I was, 16, something like that, 16 years old, 17. And I was always into music. I wanted to be a drummer from early age, and that's what I wanted to do. And came to the UK and started working in, studying music, I suppose.
Just tell the listeners, just before... But I don't want to interrupt you, although this is standard. We'll come on to this.
Yeah, this is normal.
This is normal. But one of the things that we talk about a lot is ambition, isn't it? So, and I loved your story about how you learned to play the drums.
Oh, yeah, okay. I suppose that's one of the things we sort of preach, isn't it, is visualising your goals and having a clear vision where you want to be and working towards them and all that. And I suppose the reason why our products are what they are is because we both did that. So I always wanted to be a drummer and that was just my vision. That's all I wanted to do. And so I couldn't afford a drum kit and neither could my parents. So I used to steal my mum pots and pans and create little drum sets out of them. And then I ended up making a drum key out of her, all her like cake boxes, you know.
Wasn't it quality street, like
quality? It was like quality street boxes and stuff, tins like that. And I put a bit of tissue paper on top of them, you know, with sellotape, so they deaded them down a bit. And then there was this big Pampers box. Well, my dad used to buy for my brother, who was 7 years younger than me, so he was still in nappy. So there was this massive Pampers box, and I thought, oh, that's a brilliant bass drum, I thought. So I filled it full of blankets, you know, after the nappies were gone, and made a little bass drum pedal in woodwork at school, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then I made the little drum kit down in the basement in our house.
August can turn his hand to absolutely anything.
Well,
you can. And
necessary. But but yeah, well, my dad was a builder, I suppose. I got it from him. He was, you know, he fixed everything. And then I when I was 14, I finally got some money to buy a drum kit, bought my first drum kit, a second-hand kit, and formed a band in the garage. It was the classic garage band story, with the neighbours calling the police every night to shut us up. But then Mum and Dad decided to move to the UK for studying, and I came along. Not, I wouldn't say willingly, but...
And now he can't leave.
And then when I came here, I went into... A-levels and studied music. And then I went to a university in Manchester, or Salford University, did a music degree and a sound recording degree. And from there, I started working in bands and wanted to be a pop star, you know, as you do. I had my band Pablo, which we almost became pop stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were supported by the Spice Girls.
I know. That's
pretty cool, isn't it? Just before they became famous. And then I started working in a band called The Commitments from one of the guys from the film. And then from there, I went on to the cruise ships for a couple of years. And then I sort of gravitated towards London and ended up in musical theatre. And I did that for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And
who did you meet?
Oh. And that's, yeah, and we met, what, in 2008?
Eight.
Yeah.
2008.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I did a few shows by then. I started in 2003, and then in 2008 we did High School Musical, didn't we, at the Hammersmith Apollo in London. And that's where we first met. And about a year and a half later or something, we did another show together, High School Musical 2, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, that massive hit.
It wasn't as good as High School Musical 1.
No, it wasn't really, but...
But...
We had some good people. Les Dennis was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. Did it close, or did it just come to the end of its time?
I think it just went to the end of its contract. Yeah, and through that, I did all sorts of shows like, I can't remember now, Jesus Christ Superstar, Footloose, Grease... Wedding Singer, High School Musical, I did Hairspray, Sister Act.
I did 9 to 5.
9 to 5, the first tour, and then in the West End. Dolly Parton.
Who do you drum for now?
Now I do drums for Tony Christie, Mr. Amarillo Man. I should
say, he's still doing this, as well as being 50% Perfect Planet Company as well.
Yeah, well, when COVID hit, I was in the West End on 9 to 5, and that closed like everything else. And then I sort of stopped doing theatre, and I haven't really done theatre since.
No.
We sort of ploughed everything into the business, and then I sort of got the bug again to play and got opportunity to play for Tony Christie, and I do that now. He's 80 years old, still doing it. Yeah. So that's great. So I can do a bit of both. Got a little studio at home, so it's all good. But how about you?
Mix and match. Well, me... So my story is, I also came from a theatre background. I was a dancer. I started out as a ballet dancer. Auditioned for the Royal Ballet School when I was younger, but didn't get in. Get this. This wouldn't happen now. But yeah, they didn't like me because they said my thighs were too fat.
Oh, how rude.
So, they didn't like me because of that, but apparently I could dance, but my thighs were a little bit too on the chubby side, which was a bit harsh. So a seven-year-old girl hearing that, I think that's probably, it's probably stayed with me and my body complexities for the rest of my life. But, you know, it's one of those things. Anyway, after leaving school, I went and worked in the city for a while, thinking, well, I like this because I like having money, but quickly realised that I'm completely and utterly unemployable. Employable. Employable. Whatever. Nobody wants me because because I like to do my own thing. I like to. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'd say so. And then I went off and worked in musical theatre for a while. I went to drama school, studied to be a stage manager, and had a brilliant career. Like, I loved it. Just loved it, loved it, loved it, working as a stage manager. I had a little place in London, and I just had so much fun over the years. No regrets. I wouldn't ever go back and do it again now, because I don't want to work those kind of hours anymore. But I adored it, and I adored my career, and I just had the best time. And I worked on some amazing shows with amazing people. We Will Rock You, Hairspray, where we worked together.
Yeah.
Obviously, we met on High School Musical, and then we went on and did High School Musical 2. But I did A Chorus Line, Carousel, West Side Story, War Horse. Did I say that one? Oh, God, I did some brilliant shows and some terrible shows. Absolute horrors. If anybody knows the story, Tessa the d'Urbervilles, it is a beautiful piece of English literature. Should never have been turned into a musical. And I can still remember this scene where I had to push on at a certain point this little grassy mound. So think Teletubbies, right? Oh, I did the CBeebies as well. I actually did do the Teletubbies. Those costumes are massive. But there was this little grassy mound, and I had to remember pushing it on stage. And there was... Angel Clare was sort of the male hero of Tessa the d'Urbervilles, and we had to push him on this little grass mound whilst he was strumming his little guitar,
right,
singing about harps, you know, as in like the musical harp,
right,
the musical instrument. It was so terrible, this sort of fake astroturfed thing onto the stage. And then there was Stonehenge at the end of that, Tessa the d'Urbervilles, with these fake Stonehenge pieces that looked like, you know, Spinal Tap.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
And, it was awful. It was awful. And one night we came in and there was eight people in the audience. And there was a rule. Do you remember this rule in theatre?
Yeah, if there's more people in the cast than the audience, you pull the show.
You pull the show.
Yeah.
And the orchestra was made up of 30 people. And they literally, it was the orchestra, picked up their musical instruments and said, sod this, we're not doing this. And they walked out. So we all went to the pub, got drunk.
Brilliant.
Came in the next day thinking, well, there'll be some audience tonight. And the whole theatre had been boarded up.
Brilliant.
So the bailiffs had came in, escorted us to get our stuff, and... That was the end of Tessa the d'Urbervilles, the musical.
I suppose you have to do the bad to appreciate the good.
To appreciate the good, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But we met, didn't we, on High School Musical.
High School Musical, yeah. That was a good show.
That was really, it was fun.
Yeah.
Loads of fun. So that's us.
Mm.
That's us.
There we go.
So, a bit back to business. A lot of people will be business owners themselves listening to this podcast, or even if they're not, you know, and have a 9-to-5 job, the thought of working with their partner might not be the best thought in the world. So how do you do it? What's it like spending so much time together, kind of day in and day out?
Well,
be honest.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Well, to be fair, because we met sort of, I suppose, quite late in life, really, compared to many. We were such good friends when we you know, got married and started living together, that we always got on, you know. Yeah. And we at the beginning of a relationship, we were on tour together. We were, you know, we were spending literally 24 hours a day together. So we were sort of used to it, and it's never been a problem. And so working together really hasn't been... an issue, has it? I mean, we have a moment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We definitely have a moment. You know, she's thinking, he's talking rubbish. And,
it's not, no, that's not true. No, it's not.
So I think we often take ourselves off to do our own thing and to have our own little space. And because we still do our other jobs a little bit, like I do a bit of drumming, you still do your stage management thing. So, you know, you go on trips to America quite a bit and stuff like that.
Yeah, I do the odd corporate event here and there.
And I do a few gigs and stuff like that. So that, I suppose, gives us that a little bit of time apart as well.
Gives us some space, doesn't it?
So, yeah, but I think it works really well, you know. And I think what's important, I think, in any business, whether you're a husband and wife or not, is that, you know, you need to have a team of people with different skills.
Yeah.
So, and we definitely have that. You know, you are much better, you know, on the social media, on the talking side of things and all that type of stuff. While I'm, you know, definitely more technically minded and all that type of stuff and design wise and things. So I think that's really, really important. You know, I mean, if we were both good at the same thing, it would be,
it'd be
more
clash.
Yeah,
it would be a clash and it would be a fight, because actually there isn't an argument about, I want to do this Facebook Live, or I want to record this podcast, or whatever it is, or...
Mm.
We just know where we fall in and that worked. But we didn't know that, I don't think, at the beginning.
No, I mean,
we had no idea when we first started how this would work out.
No, exactly. Because Monique literally just stormed into the kitchen one day and said, I can't find a decent planner that works for me. I'm going to make one. And I went, okay.
It now haunts him. Whenever I come up to him and say, oh, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
I can feel him retreating.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Because I'm quite impulsive, in case anybody can guess that.
You are. But I think because we came from the background that we did, where we had never really... Well, obviously, we've been in sort of 9-to-5 jobs, but most of our lives we've been sort of self-employed.
Yeah.
And we had to find our own path. You know, there's no one telling you what to do. You have to strive and just keep working towards, you know, and having really high standards of everything we did. Because there was, in our industry, there's no hiding. If I come in and I haven't learned the show properly, if I don't know what I'm doing, people will know instantly.
Yeah, 100%.
Same with you. So you can't be average. You have to be amazing at what you do.
You have to be exceptional.
And so you know, and being excellent doesn't just happen naturally. You have to put the work in. So you have to... The preparation and the learning, you know, behind the scenes before you actually do the job is massive.
Yeah.
That's more important than the actual gig itself.
Yeah, and I think we've got that in common, haven't we? That we're both so focused and both so driven that it works.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, as I said, you know, you just there are moments. I mean, we wouldn't be human, would we, if we didn't have a little bicker every now and then.
Yeah, but I must admit that we don't really sort of argue or such.
We're not shouty.
No.
I don't shout at you. I don't shout at you, actually.
No, I'm just kidding. No,
we shout at our daughter.
You just shout at our kids, yeah.
I should just say, not in an abusive way, before anybody gets funny about with me.
Yeah. And by the way, they're not locked in the office, like you just said. The door is actually unlocked. They can't get out. Just want to clarify. People are going to call social services.
We are nice parents.
Yeah. No, we don't have... I wouldn't say we argue. We sometimes have sort of discussions about things where we don't necessarily agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just do it anyway. It's pointless, really, me arguing, but...
I can't help it.
Yeah, I know. But it's a good thing,
I just can't
help it
because I just... Yeah. If I've got this idea, or if I feel like something should happen, most of the time that's probably around spending money in the business, right?
Mm.
Because you are...
A bit more cautious.
I definitely am impulsive. But I think it's impulsive. That's what made this business happen, right? Because I was like, right, we're doing it.
I suppose it did, yeah.
In this sort of temper tantrum-y kind of way that...
Yeah.
I and yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a bit of a princess. In a nice one. Like a nice one.
In a nice princess, yeah.
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 But I like things to happen.
Yeah.
And if I think I'm right, no.
Then you know you're right.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah. We work really well. We
yeah.
do work well.
Yeah, yeah, it does work. It does work. We're still here all these years on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
How many years have we been married?
Oh, many years.
Can you years? Remember? Yay!
It was like a little test then,
wasn't it? It was. Well, I didn't think it was going to be, yeah, but yeah, something yeah. felt like, I wonder if you really know.
Pressure's on.
So, as you've touched upon, you have two girls aged...
12. The oldest one's just turned 12, and the youngest will be 8 next week.
So a lot of people will be parents themselves, and you know, whether it's juggling a career or your business, a lot of people will be looking at you and at this business and going, how do they manage it? How do they juggle childcare, children's activities, the business, meetings, whilst having a life of your own? So how do you do it?
It's not easy. It's really not easy. It's really not easy.
But we had this issue when we were in our other jobs, didn't we? Because we worked terrible hours. We worked evening jobs and weekends. And,
yeah.
And there was no infrastructure for that, really, to look after kids.
No, nurseries don't do evening nurseries.
No.
One of my crazy entrepreneurial ideas back in the day, I wanted to start a nighttime, a West End nanny service.
Yeah, then we realised how much it cost to rent a space in London.
Yeah, and then gave that up.
But it's definitely not easy. And because, like, school holidays, half terms just seem to come along so fast. And you're trying to, when you're trying to get a routine going in the week, and then all of this is all thrown out the window as soon as half term comes, because you can't just, just take the week off. You just can't do that. That's the problem, you know?
No.
We make it
work. We have, my parents are close by, and they do a bit, you know, so we basically organise it that, certainly in the week, obviously our oldest daughter now is getting to the point where she can come home and she can sit by herself for an hour after school. But the youngest one, we have a childminder a couple of days a week. She goes there after school. My parents take her one afternoon. And then after that, we just have to be a bit more flexible, you know. And I think the thing for us is that we've always been honest with the kids as well. We always say, you know, today is a day where mummy and daddy are going to have to work. So, you know, like they know right now, they're not locked in the other room. They are just in there, sat there quietly on the digital babysitter at the moment. That is the, you know, their tablets and playing some games. But I think you just have to be honest with your kids and say, you know, today we're working. See, you are going to have to amuse yourselves. And we've had to do that, and we've had to be honest with them from the off. And then, and we're trying now very, very hard to make sure that when we are off and we're with them, that we're actually with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do little things, like we have our movie nights, don't we, on a Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have quite a bit of sort of dedicated family time. And And obviously we do plan holidays, obviously, with them as well. But sort of day to day, we sort of try to... They do after school clubs and they do all kinds of things, you know, so keep them
Happy. And for the summer holidays, you know, we're taking advantage of some of the clubs that are out there. Like they both, you know, it's not a surprise really, both love musical theatre.
Yeah.
So they're doing a musical theatre workshop, like where they make a show in a week, and they're both going to that, which they love. And so we know that that's a week that we can kind of get a head down and work. And then we've got another week where we've booked in a load of activities, and so we can be completely present with them and go off and do all of that kind of thing. It's hard. It's a juggle. But we just keep talking to them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We talk to them.
Yeah, we get them involved,
like,
you know. Yeah.
Like they're our friends.
Yeah. So they understand why, you know, we can't always be with them. They understand the reasons behind it and stuff like that.
And also we try to teach them about work ethic and ambition, you know, when you feel really passionately about something, when you love something, you have to work really, really hard to achieve it.
Yeah.
So you had to do that as a drummer. I had to do that as a stage manager. It's an incredibly competitive field. You know, our business right now is a competitive field, and you have to do things to make yourself stand out and be, you know, be the best at what you, you know, give it your all, be the best. And and that's a message that we try and get through to the kids as well in anything that they do. So,
yeah.
So that's how we juggle it, really.
Yeah.
As best as we can. I'm not going to lie, though, there are moments.
Yeah.
Where not, you want to scream.
It's definitely not easy. But,
Lock them in a room? No, still can't lock. No lock. No key.
No. Can't do that.
No keys. Okay. Next question.
So before we kind of get into more of the business side and kind of the challenges that you've faced over the years, we'll do a few quick fire questions. So just kind of short answers, no need to delve. So what was your first job?
Dog walker. I walked my neighbour's dog. I think I did it for a few quid, and then I ended up babysitting their children, and then I, the same family owned a children's wear shop, and then I ended up working in the children's wear shop. That was my first job. It's yours.
Newspaper round, I think it was, back in those days when there were still newspaper rounds. Newspaper rounds in the snow in Iceland.
Cool. Yeah. Big snow.
Yeah, it was early as well. I remember like getting up at 6 a.m. to do that. And then I worked for my dad, helping him. That was mainly in the summer times. He was a builder, so I was helping him out building houses. So that was, yeah, that was my sort of first jobs.
Handy. It's handy. This is a handy skill.
Handy skill.
You both travel a lot for work for your respective careers. What has been your favourite place to visit for work?
Oh, crikey, you go first, because yours is really good.
UK or abroad?
Well, I worked on a cruise ship for a year and a half, so, and I was working there as a drummer. So I was working, obviously, in the evenings, but in the daytimes, so I could get off the ship and explore wherever we were. And I went around the world twice on that ship. There was a P&O ship called Aurora, and that was amazing. I mean, I was 27 years old. I probably, one of the most amazing places I went to was a little island in the South Pacific called Bora Bora, which is just like this incredible paradise. But
it's amazing. I want him to take me.
It's quite far away. But yeah, that was amazing. And obviously, and I loved Australia and San Francisco and places like that.
You did loads, didn't
you? Yeah. So yeah, that was an amazing time. Yeah.
I don't know what mine has been. I've been to some really cool places too. For work, Singapore was amazing. I love that. I stayed in that the Marina Bay with the infinity pool across with the two towers.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And I've been to America a lot. And I love travelling around the States. I love it because the you've got these enormous distances, but every state is so incredibly different. And the people are different. And the food's different, and the weather's different, and everything is. Yeah, so I love doing that. Monaco as well. I did a brilliant job for 6 weeks in Monte Carlo, and that was fun.
I did a stint in Monaco with Greece, the show Greece. We had a week there. Yeah, it was amazing.
I did mine with.
Apart from breakfast, was like 20 quid.
Yeah. I did mine with Kid Creole and his coconuts.
Oh yeah, Kid Creole. Yeah.
But I don't think the coconuts were there. I think it was just Kid Creole.
Just Kid Creole without the coconuts.
The coconuts. Yeah.
What is one misconception of owning a business that a lot of people have?
Oh, that's made me think. I'm trying to think. Is it time or money?
I don't know.
Time.
Probably, I don't know. I'm not sure what preconceptions people have, because I didn't really have any when I started. I just went into it like, okay, I'll do that. and you sort of just learn on the job. But maybe I would imagine people think maybe it's you'll have more time, than for yourself than you really do.
I'm going to go for coffee.
Time you have to invest in the business is probably more than people realize, you know, because you do have to work a lot to make it work. And I think people maybe underestimate how long it takes to be profitable.
I think that's bang on, actually, because it does take a bloody long time.
It does take a long time, you know, to build a business into something that is making money and is working as a business, you know, and you have to learn so many. And I think maybe another thing I would imagine is how many different skills you have to learn.
Yeah, I think you have to be coachable and open to learning, because if you just say, I'm a business and I'm just going to put it out there on social media, I'm going to record, you know, a few videos and put that out there, then I think people aren't being true to that, because you've got to learn how to get your message across. You've got to learn how to write well. You've got to learn how to present well. You've got to learn.
And also with a product-based business, there is so many things to learn just about creating something. All the different, as we discovered, all the different aspects of just creating a planner you would never imagine. How many things you have to learn about the quality of the paper and the binding and the this and the that. And then you come down to logistics, shipping stuff around the world, and then Brexit came and just everything went. Yeah. And so you have to learn all these things, then you're dealing with accounting.
Yeah.
So and
PR, everything.
And I think if people go into business thinking, I'll just employ people to do all that for me, then they soon realise that that is not always a possibility, and you have to do everything yourself at the beginning. Like you said,
that's important as well, isn't it? Yeah. Because then you understand when you bring somebody in to then do that thing, you actually know what they're doing, because that's silly.
To
not know what they're doing.
You have to understand your business on every level, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want two names here from both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the most famous person in your contacts in your phone, and who is the most famous person you have worked with?
Who's the most famous in my phone? Oh.
Go on. Who?
Brian May.
Queen. Brian May.
Queen. Guitarist Brian May. Yeah. I've got his number in my phone book because I did We Will Rock You and I worked with him for a long time.
Yeah. In my phone book, probably Chesney Hawkes.
I love that.
Yeah. The one and only. Most famous person I work with. You've got a few, haven't you?
I've got quite a few cool ones. Go on, you go first.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yeah. She came and sang with us, didn't she? Yeah. So, and I work with David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff. You've got a great story about The Hoff.
I've got a great story about The Hoff, but
maybe another
time.
Can we say that on this podcast?
No, another time. And
anyway, it was very funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. Yeah.
It's a good celeb story.
Yeah,
it's one we dine out on quite a lot.
Yeah, but you've done some really cool things, because you've done all these sort of like launches of like movies and stuff, haven't you, as a stage manager. So, I mean, even I'm impressed by the stuff people you work with.
So,
some of my heroes.
Tom Cruise.
Love Tom Cruise.
I worked with Robert De Niro.
Pretty cool.
So Robert De Niro was a producer for We Will Rock You.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So that's why that came about. That's how that came about. So I used to sit with De Niro in rehearsals.
That's really cool.
In between him and Brian May. And at the time, I had massive curly hair. And Brian May and I, and Anita Dobson, who used to come visit, had matching hair.
Oh, brilliant.
Who else?
That's pretty cool.
Beyonce. That was a good one.
Beyonce, yeah.
She came in. So, yeah, there's quite a lot.
Yeah.
What, if you had to pick one moment in your career or in business, what is your greatest achievement so far?
Oh, man. That's really hard.
Well, in business...
Just business or career?
Well, I think, personally, I think in the time frame that we've built this Perfect Planner Company, I think is pretty, I'm pretty proud of that.
We won Diary of the Year last Last year? No, it wasn't last year.
This year, a few months ago.
And last year was the working from home product of the year.
So, yeah, I think that's, in business, I think that's definitely...
The thing is, I think as well, when we've done the show, I don't know if you feel about this, but when you've done the shows, even though you are a hugely integral part of that, you are still under the direction of the producers and the directors and ultimately being guided. And whilst your creativity and all of that stuff is behind it, you're still sort of under the direction. Whereas this...
Yeah, you're a hired hand, aren't you?
You're a hired hand, yeah. But this, Perfect Planner Company, this is nobody else's.
No. And we've done everything, you know, from the launch, you know.
Back in the day,
working from our kitchen table. Yeah. So, yeah, I think building this company up to where it is today, I think, for me.
I agree. Mm. I agree.
So back on the side of business, having worked with you both, I imagine you will have very different answers to this. But for any business owner starting out, what is one tool or program or service that you pay for that you couldn't live without and you can only keep one?
Oh, these are good questions.
Thanks.
She's good.
Yeah. Well, that's why we hired her.
That's why we hired her.
Oh, that's a tricky one.
One tool or service? Well, I mean, the planner.
Yeah.
Right? I run my life and my business by it.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
But aside from... Do you mean not my planner?
Yeah.
I love my planner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I couldn't do the business without the creative tools, as in the computer software, Adobe Suite, you know, that... I couldn't do it without that.
No, we can have all that beautiful
financing programs. I'll also, I know you only keep one. I will definitely keep, you know, all the Adobe creative stuff. But having automated finance programs is key as well. That saves you so much time.
And it's our mailing list. I would say our mailing list.
Yeah.
Because, without sounding slightly boring and lectury. But we know that social media can go at any given point. Platforms come, platforms go. Mm. Who remembers Clubhouse? Remember Clubhouse? Does anybody even use that? I mean, Twitter's sort of on the downward spiral at the moment, you know. So, and in comes Threads, you know, and TikTok is booming at the moment, you know. So I think that comes and goes. So the consistent and the thing, which I, you know... I don't know if this is one of your questions, but probably one of my biggest regrets is not building that email list sooner.
Mm. Yeah.
I wish we'd have jumped on board from that from day one. Mm. If I'd say to anybody starting a business now, get people on that mailing list because that is your best way of reaching out to people.
Definitely.
Your target audience, you know, the people that actually want to buy from you or are interested in hearing
from
you.
And it works, you know, I mean, I click on links I get from other companies all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's very targeted towards me and I end up often buying. So it does work.
Because the message on that email, if it's well written, will be drawing you right in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't live without our mail program.
If somebody's listening to this and going, what's a mailing list? I don't have a mailing list. This is obviously something that I need. What type of programs do they need to be researching?
So we use a program called MailerLite. There are several out there, but these are sort of like the easiest to use. There's MailChimp, MailerLite.
MailChimp is very popular. MailChimp is probably the best one to start with because it's free to use at the beginning until your list grows too big. So a lot of people start with MailChimp. Yeah. But it's still a very good program.
We changed from it because we just didn't feel that it was giving us the functionality that we needed after a while. But it served us well for a few years.
Yeah.
But there's loads out there, ConvertKit, and you know, there's tons.
Yeah,
just depends on budget and how big your list is. But I would start with one of the free ones first off.
Yeah. You can always transport your list from one program to another.
And it's the best way to get messages out there, you know, whether it's a newsletter, offering value, keeping your audience engaged. You know, it's a brilliant platform.
Yeah.
So as listeners have probably gathered by now, owning a business isn't easy.
No.
Are there any standout moments where you look back on 7 years, nearly 7 years of Perfect Planner Company, and you either made a decision or a mistake where you can't quite believe, knowing what you know now, that you made? Maybe the naive side of you at the beginning.
Well, can I tell that story where I thought you were going to, like, be decapitated and put in a suitcase?
Oh. So,
that was a bad decision. So let me rewind on that. So when we first started printing, we, you know, knew nothing about printing. And so we hired in some printing help. We hired in some help that could advise us on the printing. And they were great.
Brilliant.
They were really good. But they recommended a printers to us. And our first batch of planners came back. We were super excited, as you can imagine. This is like... This is the very first planner, which was called Network Marketing Manager back in the day. And people, some of our audience I know will remember those planners. But there were a lot of mistakes in this planner, weren't there? From in the binding of it, it wasn't done well.
Yeah. There was an issue with the quality and, you know, and we weren't happy with. And I ended up flying out to the factory, which was in Eastern Europe at the time.
But they weren't being very helpful, were they?
Not really,
no. You went out there to try and talk to them.
Yeah, it didn't really work out very well. So we basically came home and we basically just sort of wrote it off, didn't we? And we fixed what we could. And
carried on.
But yeah, there was a lesson learned there, was that, you know, really do your research on your manufacturing and the people, you know, that you are making your product.
I was terrified because he went off to this factory in the middle of nowhere and I thought, oh my God. I mean, I don't dramatise things, of course.
No, not at all.
Not at all, no.
No, I mean, I think, I'm sure we could, looking back, there's loads of things we would have gone, like, what were we thinking, you know, decisions that we made. But you always try to make the right decision at the time. So you can always look back and say, we should have done that. But I think you have to just go with your gut at the time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do your research, you know, and there's so much information, not always the correct information, but you have to sift through and you can find a lot of information online or speak to people who, you know, get a mentor is a really good way of doing it. People have done it before you. And it's the quickest way of learning, you know, and often there's good money well spent. I think... Thinking about it, actually, saying that, I think maybe that's something that we should have done at the beginning, you know, had a
mentor.
Have a mentor, yeah. It would have probably speeded up.
Yeah, we did try a couple of times, but...
Yeah. But it's
like, without saying too much, you know.
We just didn't find the right ones, maybe.
Yeah. Didn't quite share the same vision as us. We're very much... Like, I remember the first lot of mentors that I brought in...
Mm.
And I felt at the end of it, we were on their path, not them on our path.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So you've got to be really careful.
Yeah, you have to choose carefully. And
a lot more mindful of this now.
Yeah, do your research. And
Yeah.
So at time of recording this, we are into our 7th launch of the business. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes for a launch, whether it's just one product or whether it's a whole range of products, and at the end of the day our customers just see a product pop up on a website or in stock on Amazon, maybe a couple of social media posts and an email. Can you share any moments that have happened behind the scenes in the run-up to a launch that at the time no one knew about, that you were dealing with?
How honest should we be here? Oh my God. Okay. Well, the first thought that comes to mind was you driving to that lockup. So this was the first time that we'd introduced the spiral bound luxury planners.
Oh yeah.
And we launched the planners and we'd...
Yeah, that'd be there was.
This was Brexit year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Logistics, shipping, and all that was like in a mess all over the world, especially in Europe, because of Brexit implications. And And so our wire planners, which were manufactured in the Far East, were coming in on the ships, and they were massively delayed in the ports. So, and we were desperately trying to get them on sale, weren't we?
Yeah.
Because it was...
we'd put them on sale on pre-order.
That's right. They
should have been arriving similar time to the hardback planners.
Yeah.
But they'd got delayed on the waters.
Yeah.
And customers were going, rightly so, out of their mind.
Yeah.
And I was desperate to get them. It's just reminding me of another story.
Yeah. And I ended up driving down to like Felixstowe or somewhere.
Yeah.
And actually just picking them up myself, you know what I mean, in the back of a car.
Not all of them, I couldn't
fit them in, but I picked up enough to serve our customers, you know. Because, you know, and I think this is where every business needs to put their focus. You have to be absolutely customer
obsessed,
you know what I mean? And, you know, you have to do everything you can to keep your customers happy, because that keeps them coming back. And we've always been that way, and we do everything we can.
Yeah.
And that was out of our control. I mean, the delay was just horrific. And so we were trying just to... I mean, we only clawed back a few days by doing that, but it still seemed worth it. I think
it just felt like it put us back in control of a situation that we couldn't necessarily control. And that reminds me of the other story. So our corporate client, this was in the same year.
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you remember? So the corporate client... And this was the first time that we'd done it for this particular country. So we were producing a batch of planners for a company in their offices in Switzerland. And so they'd left our manufacturers in Europe.
Yeah.
And it was basically they'd set off and they're supposed to be tracked. So our logistics firm are tracking them, but they'd lost the tracking. And the driver of this lorry... just literally went off the radar, didn't he?
He just went home for Christmas, didn't he? Because it was in it was in December, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be delivered something like the second week of December, and we were into the third week of December, and nobody knew where the truck was. And we literally had to call around and get people to find this truck, which we eventually found it.
We did. I mean, I don't think, you know, when we were saying about me shouting, I did lose my marbles a little bit at that point.
Yeah.
But we tracked it down, and we had some friends and family at different places around the world that we were saying, you know, and eventually, I don't know, it was like some sort of detective thing that we uncovered this whole spiral and network, and these planners had been chucked into a lockup in Germany somewhere.
Yeah, in Frankfurt, yeah.
And he disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrific.
Yeah, I know.
But we did get them.
Yeah.
We got them back. And...
Delivered them, yeah.
Delivered them, and no one, it was none the wiser.
Yeah.
The customer, they might be now. But they were none the wiser.
Oh,
and
no.
So this is the kind of...
Yeah, it was stressful, wasn't it?
I mean, oh, geez. My God. Yeah. I swear, I definitely turned greyer after that.
Yeah, but that's, yeah.
And a few more wrinkles.
Mm. But yeah, but stuff like that happens, isn't it? And you have to just deal with it. Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah.
So, we only have one question left. So, I think it's been really, I hope it's been an interesting and insightful podcast episode. But the last question I have for you both is, if the last 7 years of Perfect Planner Company had been put into a film, they'd made a film about all the highs, the lows, the achievements, the mistakes that you'd made. If you'd seen the trailer to that film 7 years ago, do you think you would have made the decision to start Perfect Planner Company?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would believe it.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I think the plot would be so unbelievable that people go, that never happened.
Yeah, that's,
do you know
what I mean? Can't happen.
Yeah.
These two can't be so
crazy
to do all these things
and
live the life that we do.
I think so. I think you know, we talked about earlier, I would have done a few things differently. But overall, you know, I think we always had that vision of where we wanted to take the company. And, you know, that has sort of matured a little bit maybe from the beginning.
Yeah, because I think it's natural, isn't it, that you think, oh, hang on, this is working. We could do this, this and this and this with it. And now we've got a whole new set of plans and we're going to do this, this and this and this with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots and lots of exciting things coming. So, yeah, I absolutely would. I would want to follow this couple that
Yeah.
You know,
I'd want to see the film actually. Can we start Tom Cruise in it?
Yeah. I'll phone him. I'll get my phone out and ask him.
Yeah, and De Niro. We'll get him in as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not the Hoff. He's terrible at and, but, yeah.
In his pants.
Yeah, in his pants. But, no, I mean, the fact that, you know, we started with one planner and now we have all these different products.
Should I say that there'll be nine? Nine this year.
Yeah.
There's a new one coming.
Yeah.
But that's not about this, but
yeah,
that's exciting, you know? Yeah. We've grown, plus all the other products that we've got, the you know, these.
Yeah, and we sell around the world. We started off just with a UK client base, and now we sell literally all over the world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I would like to see the film, actually.
I'd like to see
it. Yeah,
who would star you?
Tom Cruise, of course.
Yeah, baby. I like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I could settle for that. Does that mean I could play me?
No.
Probably best to leave that there then. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this. I hope you've made it to the end and we've kept you smiling. But thank you so much. Thank you, August, for doing this.
Pleasure.
There you are. That's August Svensson, everyone. The other half of Perfect Planner Company. Until next time, speak to you soon.
If you enjoyed this podcast today, don't forget to hit subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. Also, head over to the She Loves to Plan Facebook group, where you can get even more value from me. Until next time, happy planning.